topic for today on Rethink Real Estate is AI. Still something I haven't totally wrapped my head around. I'm still getting to understand it, still getting to know it a little bit more. But I think that that's one of the things that we can sort of bring to you on this episode is a bit of a naive look at it. You know, Chris is definitely up to speed with it from the creative standpoints within your business. And I think that that's where ultimately it has made the most progression definitely out there at this point is the creative side of people's businesses. From an analytical side, as Chris mentions here, is that it's not you know, as buttoned up as it probably could be, giving you all statistics or different things along those lines. But I think Chris brings some really good insight, and we're going to continue to bring you a few insights as they come out and as we are aware of them, using them within our own businesses and our own business. So hopefully as another tool in the tool belt for your real estate business also. Thanks so much.
Welcome to Rethink Real Estate. My name is Ben Brady, and this is a real estate podcast aimed to deliver sales strategies, marketing tips, and business insights from industry experts and myself to build a listing-focused business for the future. Let's get into it.
Is this really you, Chris?
I mean, are any of us real?
Wow, getting highly philosophical at this point.
Is this a simulation? Is this a simulation? Are we in the Matrix?
So I saw a video the other day, and this segues us into our topic of today, which is AI tools. I saw a video the other day of somebody that, like, don't get me wrong, you can tell that it's not their mouth moving the same way as the words, but it's them with a backdrop, and they've obviously just overlaid like a script over the top of it. And I've got to be honest, like, for somebody that sits in front of a camera relatively frequently and, you know, like, this is easy because this is a free-flowing conversation. But to shoot shit that you've got to sit there with a script absolutely sucks. So if that can get any better, I'm totally using it.
Well, and I would think that's the most day-to-day of realtors who are trying to create content out there, that they're sitting down with some kind of script and sitting in front of a camera and trying to perfect that script over and over and over. And it might not be an actual script that they're, you know, writing down and putting in front of them, but it might be something they mentally rehearsed 6-7 times, and then they're going in front of a camera and trying to figure it out. So 100%, I think that's coming when it comes to AI and artificial intelligence. And I would say that's the, you know, personas that are coming out there. It's still, like you said, not perfect. And there's that human uncanniness that just seems a little weird. If you're using it for that voice, the voice is great. Like I'm assuming when you watched it, you didn't notice anything with the voice. You didn't.
No, I actually didn't. I actually thought like he had basically done an audio version of it, and then the filming was done separately. But apparently not. It was actually just typed in.
Yeah, what they do is they take your facial image and then they type everything in, and then it basically moves your mouth for you, and then it figures out your tone, your dialect when it comes to your speaking habits, and then it'll actually overlay that on there as well. So I'm assuming the one that you saw is all AI generated from the mouth to the actual voice that's coming out of the person, and all they're doing is providing the script, and they're uploading the script, and that it's doing all the work, which there's a lot of companies out there that are doing that. I don't think it's perfect for real estate, and we are in that person-to-person business right now. So if you kind of ruin that mentality, it kind of makes it look like your video is skipping or just something's not right about your mouth. But I would say the voice is so good that if you're looking for just voiceovers or anything like that, it is tremendous when it comes to that.
That's probably, so again, if anybody hasn't figured out, this episode is about AI tools that real estate agents can use. So anyway, long story short is that obviously you can figure that out on your own. But there's another part, like, I'm just thinking about at the moment. You know how like people do those video walkthroughs of like for example, the stuff that you just did for Soma. Yep. Right. So let's say that we didn't do a long form interview or whatever it may be, and it was just you doing shorts where it flicked through the actual property and the individual things that we spoke about. Technically, if it was just me with a voiceover talking about the Samsung screens or the Samsung walls that were then put into that property and whatever, and it was just me, we could type that out and then you could flick through that from a real perspective, right?
100%. And I think that's where it's super useful for real estate agents. And what we're talking about is AI voice generator and text. Like that's kind of, if you're going to Google it and you're going to search it out there, look up that. The number one company when it comes to this is called 11 Labs. So it's just the word of the number 11 spelled out, labs, all one word. Those are the biggest ones out there. But yeah, if you're going to just do kind of a reel where you're showcasing your property and you just want to upload some some voice to it and your voice specifically. I think that's where it's super useful. It also helps it so, Ben, you don't have to jump in a studio real quick and have a nice sounding microphone or anything like that. You can jump in really quick. You can upload your voice, you know, the day that you're using this. Then you can go away for months at a time, as long as your voice never changes. And you could be using this... you could be using this forever for all your property description videos or, you know, your promo videos or anything like that that you're doing for listings.
So your voice never changes.
I don't know.
So do you know, I really want to try this one day. I want to try and do like a podcast with you and I. Like, we'll try and do like a 5-minute script where it's you and I talking back and forward, and we'll generate two images and see if we can do that. That'd be hilarious.
That would be really podcast. Good. And yeah, we can even do ChatGPT spits out the entire script for the podcast episode as well. The big thing, everybody probably knows about the ChatGPT and the benefits of kind of getting quick responses for, you know, I want to write a social post or I want to do this. The three things that I think have come a long way in the last, you know, 6 months when it comes to AI, because this is always evolving, would be this voice generation from text. I think that's really good. And AI voice generation is working really well. The next ones I would say is text to image. So that's really big and I think really useful for realtors out there. And the third
Hang on. Give me an example of what text to image is. I can't wrap my head. You mentioned to before the episode, I'm like, I didn't actually ask you a follow-up question. Like, what is that?
So text to image, for example, would be you need an image, you know, of a house, a mid-century modern house with white walls and beige decor and all this stuff. And you type that in there. You need an interior shot of this. And then you type in all that text description and it will spit out an image for you. And that image you could use for a lot of different things. Say you're trying to update your marketing material and you don't have stock photos. You can plop that text description in there, that prompt is what it's called. And then it'll spit out an image for you and you could overlay that on, you know, your flyers or anything like that you have out there. You could use it, you can upload a reference image in there as well. And you can then stage that reference image. If it's a blank empty room and you want to say, you know, give me modern decor, TV over the fireplace, XYZ, it will then spit out an image that looks similar to that reference image, but now is staged at that point. So I think those are really good. Another one would be, you know, keys handing over to a realtor or a realtor opening a front door, like little things, little pictures like that. We don't understand how many photos and videos we need until we're in the
B-roll. Yeah. Yeah. Chris, it is just the constant thing. Like if you have a look at Harcourt's auctions, we had to do like a fake auction situation where we had to get B-roll photography. That was, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago now. And a lot of that stuff is kind of irrelevant at this point, but it's so difficult to stage a day and then have somebody shoot all the individual moments in order to build that library. It's just B-roll, I would say, is the most valuable thing from a marketing position that you can ever find.
And that's what I was going to get into too, is text to video is the last one that I think has made like a lot of headway lately, especially in the last couple months.
Before you go on, how do I do the text to image? Where's that? Is that?
Yep. Text to image is a company called Midjourney. Journey. You would look it up and then, what you would do at that point is you have to actually have a Discord channel. So you'd have to download Discord and use it. But there's a bunch of instructions online on YouTube or on Midjourney's website itself on how to use it. But that's where I would think those would be super beneficial for a lot of your marketing needs. If you need something for a flyer or you need... if you need flyer, poster, a business card, you need a logo mocked up. Like there's a lot of things those things can do. And for a realtor, an everyday realtor, it might be difficult for you to go and, you know, spend a bunch of time on stock photo sites and then spend a bunch of money on those stock photo sites trying to find something that's kind of close to your market or close to what you're trying to do. When you could just type in, you know, I want a photorealistic image of a suburban neighborhood in California, and it'll spit out, you know, a bunch of houses and a, you know, nice little background that you're just putting as filler on your flyers and your documents. And so I think it's a really, really good beneficial way to add photography and add character to some of your marketing elements that you're putting out there.
So quickly, before we move on to the text, the video, so we did 11, what was that one? 11 labs.
Yep.
What's that cost?
That's a good question from an 11 labs standpoint.
Like 12, like I know.
They're always like $10 to $20.
$10 to $20. Or if you have to subscribe, like it's like, I know, for example, the Midjourney one that you've got for the company is like, I think it's like $4.
So Midjourney, I think it, I just raised it because we were doing a bunch of stuff on it, to $30 a month. And that's like, I get like unlimited with $30 a month. But the cool thing too, that I want to say about Midjourney is because it's in this Discord channel, and what Discord is basically like an open chat room.
It's like Reddit. Isn't it like just Reddit? Like the tech version of Reddit?
It's similar. Yeah. And so the cool thing about that is you can see everybody else's prompts that they're putting in there and you can learn from those. So if you scroll through those, you can actually see and you could say, hey, that image looks really cool. That's kind of what I'm trying to do. You could actually see that image, see the prompt that they put in there, and you could take that prompt, copy and paste it, and you can just tweak it a little bit to what you're trying to do, and then you can actually deliver an image that's much better. So you can actually learn from Discord directly in there because everybody's doing it in a public-facing forum, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's cool. That's actually really helpful. It sounds complicated to somebody that is not a tech genius around all of this stuff, but it really like even for me with a little bit of playing around that we did with the Harcourt's AI stuff or whatever it may be, I think it's really useful. Now, talk to me about text to video. This is something that sounds a little, I've heard about this like just on some of the podcasts that I listen, they were talking about it on the All In podcast recently that like some of the quality, like if somebody spends the time to put a script in there of what happens, like to the detail extent, some of the quality stuff that comes out, you know, is actually kind of scary, that one of the biggest jobs that could be replaced ever would be actors, because some of this stuff is just unbelievable.
Yeah. So I've been pretty shocked with how far this has come in a short time. So they were trying to do this, and they were trying to do this with the text to image and stuff like that. And it was very choppy, and it was very, just didn't look good. You know, you would get a video where someone's feet were opposite, or, you know, their hands would have like 7 fingers or something like that. Like, it was getting really weird, and it just wasn't right. Lately in the last month, it's been really, really, really good, which is crazy. And so there are videos, one of the biggest reasons why it's got so much better is because OpenAI has kind of perfected this and kind of worked with this with their company called Sora, not company, but their, you know, product called Sora. And, okay. It's taken some advancements to the next level. So there are videos out there right now that you probably come across already that are AI in those things. So there's a couple of things that are really happening with these when it's, you know, celebrities promoting products or product shots or anything like that, that aren't actually the celebrities right now, and people are getting in trouble when it comes to an advertising standpoint. I'm not saying you should go have Joe Rogan or something like that, or, you know, Dr. Phil promote your real estate business, because you could theoretically. But what I would say from this standpoint is the B-roll aspect is really good. So what these do is they allow you to create about 1 minute clips. So it's like 1 minute and under clips when it comes to text to video. And you can give it a lot of different scripts. So maybe your video is talking about the historical aspect of your town or your city. I live in Gig Harbor. Maybe it's talking about what Gig Harbor used to look like in the 1960s. Well, we can't go back and we can't film that. We don't have access to that footage. But if you give that prompt to AI could figure that out for you. And it could, you know, show a fishing town back when there wasn't a lot of buildings and stuff like that.
I have definitely been duped into this. So you know the back bay where in Newport Beach where I run, right? There was this video on this social page called Visit Newport Beach. Yep. And I totally got duped into this then, like thinking, where do they get all these images from? Because like they were like, I understand like the remastering of old images, but like there's certain parts of the Back Bay and there's certain parts of the run that they're like, here's the Back Bay loop back in the day. Like it was this, it was a restaurant. It was this, it was this, it was this. And I'm like, where do they get this shit from? And I guarantee it's AI. Yeah, you said that.
I saw someone recently do a cool video, and they were doing like a historical thing of Seattle. And so they were doing a historical thing of Seattle, and they were trying to depict it. And they had all the reference images and everything like that from the library, from the Seattle Public Library system. And so they knew what was all there. It's probably the similar thing that they did for yours, is they knew there was a restaurant there. They knew there was, you know, a brewery there, and they were doing all these things. But then they just didn't have the images. So they just did, you know, old 1910s or 1920s video depiction, probably built with AI, when it comes to what it would look like. And so they just gave the prompt in there. Again, the same thing you would do from a text to image, but you're doing it with video now, and you're giving the prompt to then deliver out a video for you. And again, if you're only using it for B-roll, something really quick, and again, it might be handing the keys over to a realtor, or it might be opening a door, or walking in the, you know, someone's feet walking into a listing, or little things like that, or it's anything from signing documents.
Tell me if this is just a crazy idea though. Like I'm thinking about this, like one of the biggest challenges when it comes to selling just your ordinary property is that I'm still a huge believer in staging. Now, you mentioned previously that people can virtually stage a property from the photos and whatever yep. it may be. I think that, first of all, is incredible. Like we bought our New York place, and that was virtually staged. And I walked into it, I'm like, oh, there's no furniture here. He's like, no, that's a virtual staging. Like, it can be really, really good. And this was ages ago. But then it really did a good job of showing the space, showing the use of the space. Because again, not to push down an individual, but creativity is just not a lot of people, or people's ability to actually be able to think about the space and what they can do from a design standpoint. I really do believe you've got to do it for them in order for them to feel the emotional connection to it. Like, I think that one of the most depressing moments for any buyer that's ever purchased the property is the day they walk into it now. And when it's vacant, if it was staged, you're like, oh dear, what do I do now? And then I guess that where I'm going with this, Chris, is there an opportunity where possibly people could like take it, say that it's a home that needs to be remodeled. Is there any way that they could remaster things, like if you removed a wall, or you could paint a kitchen or put a new kitchen in this space, this could be the design or things like that?
Yeah, so it's always as good as the information it has. So if you're uploading something with a wall in front of it or anything like that, it's not going to be able to understand what's behind it, or, you know, what's a load-bearing wall or what's not a load-bearing wall inside of a building. Right. So it's not going to have any of that information. But if you're just trying to depict, you know, what a vacant land would look like with a log cabin built on it, that's, you know, it would easily do that. Easily do that. So, which is pretty cool. So, there's a lot of things you could do from that standpoint. You could also dress up the property based on individual buyers. So maybe you're working with buyers, and you're a buyer agent, and you want to show them exactly what this property would look like. You think this property is perfect. They went through it. It was vacant. They didn't really like it. But you were like, hey, I know your style. Let me just put a little bit of touch on this and show you what this could be. This is a diamond in the rough, I think. And, you know, paint these walls and whatever. You can do a lot of things like that. Photoshop also has their own generative fill. Adobe has their own AI that they're working on right now as well. So you could use Photoshop at that point. Or again, I'm not asking realtors to know everything under the sun. So what you could do is you can look out there and hire someone to use Adobe's AI to fill things in there. So right now, all you have to do when it comes to AI is you just create a box. There's a little button that pops up. It says generative fill in there. And I could say living room furniture, like, and it'll put all that in there. Which
And you
cool.
can, and you could probably do things like restoration hardware furniture and stuff like that, because it will be able to rip all that stuff out. But I guess that the next part of this that I sort of was thinking about from an AI perspective is like, it's funny how there's some agents that, well, hang on, let's talk about the relationship with realtors and tech first of all.
Yeah.
Right. Is that, I would go as far as to say, like, Compass is an incredible example when it comes to real estate technology. They spent over $1 billion on their tech, which, to be honest, I've watched that video of what it offers, and I'd be pretty depressed if I'd spent $1 billion on that. However, that said, is that it's probably one of those things where they've really tried to base themselves around a technology company in order to get a tech valuation, in order to be valued more than just what a general real estate company is valued at. Now, they've invested a lot of money to create that persona. However, their adoption rate is just as low as any other agency or any other company's adoption rate when it comes to technology. I think that there's an element of real estate where the average age of a realtor in the country is certainly higher than the average ages in a great deal of other industries. So therefore, there's not this connection with technology. And you often find that, you know, 85, 90% of the realtors are just not engaged, regardless of if you told them that this would actually, you know, unbelievably benefit them, because I think there's just this low, there's not a low barrier to entry. It's still relatively difficult if you're not, you know, I'm sure you can send an email, but if you're not overly advanced with anything else outside of sending an email, you're not going to be using the CRM systems and the generation tools and the, you know, the automation that is ultimately there. However, going back into now with this technology stuff, like you've got this 10% of the audience that I've seen people that are, you know, out of that 10%, I'd say 50% of them are too deep into it. And what I mean is that they've just bought every single product under the sun to try and make their business easier and more streamlined. And they're so confused and they're chopping and changing. It's amazing, because we've looked into replacing our own CRM that we've built, okay, and putting another CRM in. But the problem is that when you go out to the audience, everybody has an opinion that's just so vastly different of technologies like the follow-up bosses, the KV cores, and all of these different ones that are out there. There's so many different options. And where I'm going with this, Chris, is that with AI, it just seems to add, at the moment, it doesn't seem to be used too much in real estate at the moment, because I think that there's obviously a pretty low barrier to entry from a technology standpoint. But the other part of it is that, you know, it just is adding another layer on top where people are like, oh, it's just too hard to figure it all out.
I think that's what it is. I think it's the fear of being too hard. And I think, you know, my background, I've been trying to push tech on realtors for a decade now. Like it's not a fun job. So it's very,
well, no, it's, do you know, it's kind of easy though. Like, and again, I'm not saying that it's kind of easy to get them to buy into it in the moment. It's then a month
it's
later.
It's using
see you later.
It.
Yeah.
It's the usage rate of it.
Where should they go to, mate? Like, give us some sources like of where they should be looking. Is it on YouTube? Is there certain channels? Is there stuff like, where should they be looking for the tools?
So YouTube is your probably number one search for any of this stuff. So if you have a question when it comes to, you know, 11 Labs or Sora or Midjourney or anything like that out there, that's where I think you would pay attention to these things. The other one I would say from a AI text to video would be Runway, is what it's called, like a plane landing on a runway. And so look it up on YouTube. There's a lot of people who have kind of done the trials and tribulations when it comes to all these products, and don't try to reinvent the wheel. Don't try to get in there and try to figure it all out when you could just go to YouTube and figure it, let someone else figure it out for you. So, but the big thing.
Just typing in there though, agent, real estate agent, what AI tools should I use? You know,
you might get a bunch of different things. Like at that point, you might get like AppFolio, or you might get like all these other things that would then come to you.
Very property management based. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. You might get anything under the sun when it comes to that stuff. So what I would do is I would type in the exact thing. I would say Midjourney prompts for business or something like that. Like, and then just figure that out. But I would say the easiest way to get into it is, if you wanted to, and you're just think you're way too far past this when it comes to, you know, demographic or age or usage or anything like that, have an intern, have someone else come in, hire them as this part of your business where you say, hey, I need this little piece of video, or I need XYZ. Have an intern come in, type in the prompts for you, and figure that part of your business out. I think that would be the easiest way. Or have someone, you know, maybe it's your son or your daughter or anything like that, if you think you're too far past when it comes to this AI stuff. But I would say the big businesses are using this, and they're only going to get better at this. And your competitors are going to start using it too. So we know there's a lot of young blood coming into the real estate game right now, especially with the market over the last couple of years. There's a lot of youthful agents. They're going to start learning how to use this for their business, and they're going to take it to the next level. So the more that you could tap into it, the better you're going to be. I wouldn't say tackle everything. I would say, again, find the pieces of your business that you really want to streamline. And again, maybe you're making a video and you're like, crap, I heard Chris and Ben talking about B-roll, and I'm looking for B-roll, and I'm over here on a stock video site, or my editor's on a stock video site. Why don't I just type in AI video that I can do this real quick and deliver something that's really good? So,
but where I think that, you know, where I think that it possibly could be really useful, and this could be in a whole nother episode, is that I think that there's a part of this where, market data. Like you, but you've got to be careful because a lot of the new AI stuff is not as up to date. Like it's not up to date right now.
It's getting better. So, ChatGPT-3, I think it was ChatGPT-3, I only had a reference date up till September or something like that, or something weird. They had a cutoff date. Now, the AI program is allowed to search. So it's doing its own web browsing, its own searching. So it is scouring the internet for resources. Again, it's not going to be perfect on things that it's not understanding from, but there are AI market research apps and companies. That's not my forte. I don't have a lot of that information from that standpoint. But there are companies out there that are using AI to basically depict what's going to happen and forecasting and everything like that. The other thing I would say is AI right now is not good at math. It's not which is strange. Okay. You know, you wouldn't think that. You'd be like, oh, it's just, you know, ones and zeros. It would figure that thing out. But the way ChatGPT formed was to learn the English language, so the way it actually formed, just for a background of people, was it gave them a prompt of like a word and it said guess the next word. And so it was like grizzly, and it would say duck. And it's like, no, that's not right. And then next time it comes back, it said, no, the answer is bear. Remember that for the future. So now grizzly bear. Well, they did that a trillion times, like a countless amount of times with every single word. So it started to guess which words come after which words. And that's where the kind of conversational element of ChatGPT's come from. With numbers yet.
What do you think, like, could you... Like, isn't there like part of ChatGPT where you could upload all of the market data within, say, let's just say Newport Beach, and then could you give me the average turnaround time or turnover of a property? How many years? Like, could you do that stuff?
It will get you close, is what I would say. It will get you close. That's where I think you're looking at more of these AI market research apps and stuff like that that have figured out that way to get the right answers out of there. If you just type that into ChatGPT, again, it's going to get close. It's probably not going to get 100% accurate because it doesn't understand, you know, percentages, or it doesn't understand, like, it's the complex math that it struggles with. The 2 + 2 it's seen a million times, and it knows that 2 + 2 = 4. Yeah. Like it's seen that sentence 5 billion times at this point. And the more it sees the other sequences of, you know, market data or turnover rate or anything like that, the better it's going to get. But it's just not perfect when it comes to numbers yet.
Okay. Well, again, it's still something that we want to keep our finger on the pulse with, and there will be something that we will revisit continuously throughout our, you know, podcasting to see what some of the new tools are and things along those lines. But I think you just see it as a tool in the tool belt in order to actually create some leverage. I think that one of the more insightful videos that I've looked at, I'm not the most creative, like I sit in front of the Harcourt's AI that we have, or the Harcourt's Auctions AI, whatever one where you're on, and it's just it's a simplified version of ChatGPT. And I look at it, I'm like, what do I ask it? I struggle with the prompts. So I think YouTubing, you know, best prompts for these situations, if you can give me the prompt, then I'd use it a little bit more.
And let me help you guys out with the prompts a little bit, just from the baseline, is treat it like a very rudimentary intern. So like treat it like a very basic intern that doesn't know anything about your business, that is coming into your building and you're saying, hey, I need you, and very simple prompts, very simple, and then elaborate with it from there. So it could be, you know, get me, scour my website and tell me all the keywords that I'm targeting and all the ones that I should be targeting. Like that might be your initial prompt to it. And then once it comes back with everything and says, okay, disregard these keywords, or tell me the 6 keywords I should be going after that. Okay, take out this keyword, blah, blah, blah.
So it's an ongoing refinement.
Ongoing conversation, like you're having this thing with your intern, or it's, you know, it could be write this email to a buyer prospect, and about 6 properties that we found that all probably don't meet their needs. And so it comes back and you could say, okay, shorten that email.
Right.
Okay.
Right, dive deeper
into 1234 State Street and talk about that property. So I would say you could tell it, you don't have to be polite with ChatGPT. And that's one of the funny things about it is your intern might get pissed off and quit if you tell them to redo the same thing 27 times. ChatGPT is not going to have that problem. So you could type in a very simple prompt in the beginning, whatever you're trying to accomplish. And then from there, it could be a script for a video. It could be a script for a podcast. It could say, okay, now shorten it or dive deeper into Instagram or dive deeper into this piece of it. And it will go further and further and further. I've seen business plans pop out of this that are tremendous. That there's one business plan that I saw. A guy's job is to go to companies and create business plans. It takes him like 2.5 weeks. He said that's better than anything I could ever wrote in 2.5 weeks, which is tremendous. But again, it's a simple prompt. Write a business plan for a coffee shop business in the Pacific Northwest. And then it goes, cool. And now it says, okay, and it gives you the entire prompt. And
hopefully,
now
hopefully it would come back saying, don't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because Starbucks.
Yeah, sure. And so, but
I know Chris is a huge fan of Starbucks. This is like, that's his like go-to.
Not really. I mean, I like Starbucks. I when I'm on the road, I drink Starbucks. So I
you can't see do you notice that you can't speak ill of Starbucks in front of somebody from Seattle?
I mean, you could speak ill of it. We don't drink it like crazy. We have a better coffee culture than most places. But anyways.
Do you know, it's actually kind of like when like people get offended, like Americans get offended when it's like, oh, you drink Budweiser, right?
Or you guys with Foster's.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But the business plan comes out and it gives you all these bullet points, and you could say, okay, now take that bullet point and dive deeper, create a two page like topic around X bullet point. So that's where I would say the more you talk to it and the more you dive into it or tweak what it's giving you back, the better your results are going to be. So that's where treat it like an intern, treat it like someone who knows nothing about your business, and then refine it. Tell them, tell it, not them, I probably shouldn't be calling it to them, tell it to get better at certain things. So I want you to use this tone. I want you to remove this word and rewrite it and stuff like that. So there's a lot of different things you could do when it comes to AI. But again, with anything, the text to image, the text to video, the simpler the prompt you give it in the beginning, the better. And then you can tweak it from there.
I think that's a great bit of advice, Chris. Thank you for your insights into the AI world. It seems to still spin my brain, but I think that it's relevant for people to actually stay on top of and actually understand, not bury your head in the sand at all.
Yeah, and I just really hope it helps you with your creative elements of your business. I think that's where it's made the most headwind right now. Like Ben talked about the analytical side of your business and everything like that. I think it still has a little bit of ways to go. But the creative element of your business and the marketing element of your business, I think it's a really cool tool for you to get things done really quickly that might have taken you a production company, studio, or anything like that that you don't need anymore.
As always, mate, thank you.
See ya.
So about 75% of our audience hasn't liked, followed, or subscribed to our podcast. It would mean the world to us, and it would help this podcast more than you know to expand our reach if you were to like, follow, or subscribe on any of the platforms that you're watching or listening on. Thanks again.